Miracles are coming. Are you ready?
Yes.
Miracles are coming. Are you ready?
Yes.
Oh, that's a little more like it. Sounds a little more convincing that you actually desire a miracle and believe it'll happen. And that's what we're talking about in this miracle series. Does God still do miracles? Do I, you know, in our own responses, yeah, maybe. You know, it's hard to get excited about something we don't think is going to happen. But if we know it's going to happen, we live it in anticipation that God is going to move. And this series on miracles is to open your heart and your soul to the anticipation that God does want to move. God has moved, He will move, and He will continue to move. On the first week, we talked about, on Easter Sunday, the miracle of the resurrection. And we looked at the facts and aspects by which how the resurrection is powerful, and it's the basis that all other miracles take place. That if God can defeat death and rise from the grave, then anything's possible. What Paul writes about is all things are possible with God. So we know that life after death is possible because it's Jesus. And anyone who believes in Him has that eternal life. We'll be raised up on the last day, the Bible speaks about. Last week we talked about the miracles of nature and how even in the midst of nature, God is moving. And we looked at how that looks in the Scriptures and how it looks for today. If you missed that one, jump in online, take a look at that, because that shows you how we can depend on God, how God opens doors or closes doors and helps us see the direction He wants us to go. Today, I want to talk about miracles of healing. Anybody ever prayed for a miracle of healing? Go ahead, keep your hand up. Look around the room. That's a lot of people. And I would dare say of all the miracles that we're going to talk about in this series, and we're going to look at every category, the miracle of healing is probably the most dominant. If you look in the Scriptures, at least 3/4 of the miracles in the Old Testament are miracles of healing. If you look in the New Testament, almost 9/10 of the miracles that Jesus performs are miracles of healing. Very dominant in the Scriptures. I would say in my years of ministry, the far majority of prayers that I have with people around the bedside or in the hospitals or in this place or along the roadside, and we're praying, our desire to be healed of something in their body, mind, or spirit. Miracles of healing are ways that God continues to intersect life today and tomorrow and will until we come again. We want to live with anticipation that God still heals. We live in this age of the Spirit by which we know even when Jesus ascended from earth to heaven after the resurrection, we know that in the New Testament era when Jesus had already ascended, miracles are still recorded in the books of the Bible. Look at the epistle letters of Romans and Corinthians, the book of Acts. You'll see miracles happen. Jesus wasn't present in those miracles, but they're still happening. Jesus doesn't need to be walking on the face of the earth for the Holy Spirit to do miracles, because God is a God of miracles. So part of it is an awakening in our own heart, in our own soul, that God is still moving, and I want to anticipate what He can and will do in my life. There's a passage that we've been sharing in this series, and I literally want you to memorize it. In Psalm 77:14, look at it on the screen, and let's say it together again with a heart of faith. You are a God who performs miracles. You display your power among the peoples. Hold on to that. What do we anticipate, and what do we share with others in this aspect of miracles of healing? You know, sometimes this aspect of healing can be a little confusing. Sometimes we pray and we get a miracle the way we pray, and sometimes we pray and the miracle doesn't come out like we think. Sometimes we pray for radical things to move in our lives and it happens. But what about those that it doesn't happen? This is one story of Andy Kennington. She's a good friend of mine, a manager of this region of the YMCA. Take a little bit of a look at her story.
Hi, I'm Andy Kennington, and I'm here today to share my own personal miracle with all of you. At 37 years old, at the start of the pandemic, I was diagnosed with stage 4 glioblastoma brain cancer. I was married with 2 daughters at the time. Meredy was 6 years old and Hadley 3. Working full-time and out of the blue, got this devastating diagnosis. As you can imagine, our family was, this might be hard. Our family was completely devastated by this news, but this was one of the darkest times that we went through as a family. And sitting here today as a five-year survivor, I have to share with you that before this, I wouldn't have believed miracles were possible, but living it out, they truly are. You know, this was the darkest time that I'd ever been through in my journey with faith. I believed I was a Christian, but God and I probably got the closest during this time because I truly realized that I really wasn't in control, and He was. And I realized that it was not my battle to fight. It was really His battle. It was always His battle to fight all along. And just bringing me closer to Him, you know, it was hard to start our family, and that was one of the dark times I went through in my faith. But then to come to find out, getting this devastating diagnosis, knowing He knew all along this was coming. And so that's really what was so devastating for our family. But looking back 5 years later now, I realize this was all part of the plan, and it's brought me closer to Him. And I realize that my whole purpose is really to live out His mission, and that's what we're all here to do today. And so I never thought I would say this, but I'm grateful for the darkness and for the hard times that He's put in our lives, because it's made not only myself, but my husband and both of our daughters become even stronger in our faith. And so, yeah, it's been a journey, but it's a miracle. There are no other reasons. The diagnosis I got, I was told 3 to 6 months. And so sitting here 5 years later, it's just, there's no other explanation other than God and other than miracles. So we're just eternally grateful for the purpose and His plan, and that He still has me here for a reason. And so I continue to live out that plan.
Amen. Powerful miracles happen in amazing ways. How many times do we pray for a miracle, but we don't really expect one? So I want the prayer. I want to pray for healing, but I'm thinking in the back of my mind, it's not likely to happen. Such was true for Andy and any of them. She had shared with me after getting the diagnosis that she didn't know anyone, and she knew a number of folks that had this same form of cancer. She didn't know any of them were still living. So you're facing that going forward. You're facing that when someone's laying hands over you and praying for a miracle. Is this something that can happen or not? What excuses do I begin to make that tell my brain and my mind that God really is not going to move here? And now on the backside of that, she comes in here, and this past Wednesday, we celebrated 5 years of cancer-free. What an amazing miracle God's moved in her life. And she testifies about that and about the power of God still being able to move. Don't understand it all, don't get it all, don't need to, because God is a God of miracles. In fact, there's a name for God in the Bible. It's Jehovah Rapha. Jehovah Rapha means the Lord who heals. That imagery first came out in early Exodus after the Israelites left Egypt and were headed toward the Promised Land. When in Exodus 15:26, God says to them, "I am the Lord, your healer." He wants them to come to Him. He wants them to cry out for healing. And throughout the Old Testament, it's all over the place. We see it with many who are living in the midst of the world crying out for God, Jehovah Rapha, heal me, heal us. God still honors it as He did in that day. David writes in Psalm 103, verse 2 through 5, he says this, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits, who forgives all your iniquity, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy, who satisfies you with good, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles." Hear how God is so complete in what He wants us to cry out to Him for. Jehovah Rapha. Rapha literally means to be stitched together or to be made whole. We're crying out to God, would You stitch it back together? What is the place that you long for healing? Might be physical, might be emotional, might be spiritual. What are ways that you're longing for God to stitch back together or to make whole in your life? Jehovah Rapha desires you to call on Him and work in Him. You know, the reality is, as we think about these things, that the world is complicated, isn't it? It's hard to imagine what God can do and what God still do. You know, every single day, this world plays havoc on our lives, isn't it? Every single day, we wrestle with this gravity pulling against us with disease and hardship and suffering. It's a part of the world in which we live. And many times we can just begin to believe, well, God is not in the midst of this. You know, if we look into scriptures, in the way the scriptures are built from Genesis to Revelation, you see this rhythm of God. And the scriptures are more about telling us who God is and how God's moving in the midst of human life on earth. It opens up in the book of Genesis and says God created everything perfect. He lays out the heavens and the earth and the land and the seas and the birds of the sky and the animals on the land, the people that he creates. In every single section, he says, it is good. It's perfect. We see this Garden of Eden. We see Jesus walking with Adam and Eve in the cool of the night. It's a beautiful picture of what we long for in the world. And yet, Paul, when he's writing the scriptures in Romans, says, you know, every day we groan, all of creation groans, longing for God to redeem it because of all the suffering and the brokenness and the longing for healing. But yet, you look back and you see God's intent and God's ideal. But then you read in Genesis 3 where there's a fall. And that fall began to break things. Human sinfulness, rebellion against God. People begin to fight against one another. They begin to be the absence of God. And we see that moving in the midst of it. And we see where Adam and Eve no longer want to walk in the evening with God because they're afraid, they're embarrassed, and they begin to battle one another. They begin to see where it's hard for things to grow and suffering begins to happen. And if childbirth begins to be painful and all these things that let us know the world is not perfect. That's the age in which we live. The prophets of old came in the midst of that age and taught us to cry out to Jehovah Rapha, the God who heals them, and he did. In the New Testament, we see Jesus entering the scene of a land of suffering. He didn't come to remove it all, but he came to be with us in the midst of it. Even Jesus himself suffered. It says, by his stripes we are healed. And he performed many miracles, but never one for himself. So we think about the complexity of all of that. We think about all the ones who came to see Jesus and longing for miracles. What happened after that? Would their bodies grow old? Would they once again enter into an aspect of disease or bodily decay or not the ability to think or the havoc that comes about with life? Of course they would. So what we learn most of all is not the miracle of healing, but the man who heals. That realize when Jesus comes on the face of the earth, what he shows us is the perfection of the kingdom, and he is the one who brings it. He's Jehovah Rapha. In Mark chapter 1, we see where Jesus enters the scene. It says, Jesus came into Galilee proclaiming the gospel of God, saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. So very early on, what do we begin to see about this Jesus? The kingdom of God. In essence, what is the fulfillment in the Garden of Eden is what is going to be fulfilled in Revelation 21. There's this fullness. In fact, in Revelation chapter 21, verse 4, we see this. He will wipe away every tear from our eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither there shall be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away. So almost in the Bible, we see a bookend. We see Genesis, the Garden of Eden. We see Revelation when everything comes back together. And then we live in the midst of this age. And that's the age in which Jesus came into. In Mark chapter 1, verse 30, still in the first chapter, it says, now Simon's mother-in-law lay ill with a fever, and immediately they told him about her, and he came and took her by the hand and lifted her up, and the fever left her, and she began to serve them. That evening at sundown, they brought to him all who were sick or oppressed by demons, and the whole city was gathered together at the door. Imagine that. That's quite a line, isn't it? Jesus had no idea when he walked into the house he wouldn't be able to get out. And he says, and he healed many who were sick in various diseases and cast out demons. You know, right off the bat, Mark begins to say, in the very first chapter, Jehovah Rapha is in the room. That the Messiah who comes to save us from our sins is the same one that will heal all our infirmities. One by one, people begin to see he's the real thing. But yet again, not all were healed. And there again on earth, all would eventually die and rely on Jesus to raise them from the grave. In the Old Testament, the book of Job seeks to try to understand suffering. Who's to blame? Why does it happen? His friends come up to him. Something you must have done wrong. You must not have believed right. Might not have had enough faith. This is what's caused in your life. And indeed, some things that we suffer are because we did something that we deserve to suffer. But there's many things in the midst of our world in which we suffer by which we did nothing. It's just the state of the world. It's the state of brokenness. It's the state of the place that we are in between the first coming and the second coming of God. Ones like Paul tries to make sense of it in the New Testament. In Romans chapter 5, beginning with verse 1, he says this, "Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." In essence, when we are believers in Jesus Christ, he has made right the sins that were wrong. In essence, he has forgiven them. And he's taken upon himself through his suffering on the cross our sins, which means that we are made now just because he was just and we are connected to God. It means that we have a relationship with him and that relationship offers something to us. Paul goes a little bit further and tells what does it offer. He says, through him we've obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand. So as we walk in the midst of this world, in the midst of broken and suffering, we're able to stand because of a grace and the mercy that God has given to us, and it comes to us in many ways. Paul goes on to write, he says, we rejoice in the hope in the glory of God, but he says also we can rejoice in our sufferings. How many of you are joining in that? It's hard, isn't it? I would dare say Andy, as you saw, was not rejoicing in the suffering. It was painful. 5 years later, when we're doing this interview, she's still caught up in it. But she can still say, you know, when she said a little bit, you know, I look back and I find gratitude. If it wasn't for that really dark, difficult time, the intimacy that I now have with my family and with my Lord Jesus may never have come. Jehovah Rapha is in the room, and there are many ways in which he longs to heal us. Paul says this suffering produces an endurance, and an endurance produces a character. Character is how we relate to God. That character and how we relate to God produces hope, because now we know God, and we know fully who he is as healer. And hope does not put us to shame, because we can count on him, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. So what makes us hold back to cry out to Jehovah Rapha? What makes us hesitate? What are the barriers that keep us from getting on our knees and crying out to God, saying, God, would you heal me? Or even for someone else? I know I've experienced some of those barriers. One of them could be embarrassment. You ever pray for somebody for something and it didn't happen? And you might say, well, maybe next time I'm not going to pray out loud. You know, I felt a little of that when I was praying over Andy. What if God doesn't come through? Like it reflects on me, right? Like I have some power here. Let me tell you, church. You and I do not need to defend God. God is God. God created everything, and God can move as he wills. God knows what we can never know. He sees what we can never see. He understands what we can never understand. He created in the beginning, and he already sees revelation. We don't need to defend him for anyone, nor be embarrassed to represent him, because it's him that we're going to live with forever. So we can pray boldly. Sometimes we're afraid to pray because we're not sure how the results are going to turn out. What if I pray for someone to be healed of cancer and it doesn't happen? Therefore, the next time I'm kind of afraid to put it out there on the line. I remember feeling a little bit of that way praying over Doug McFadden. We heard his testimony last week on the screen. Suffering from cancer, has for 4 years, beat it longer than most have. And he shares his miracle story, that God performed a different miracle. He moved in his life and caused Jesus to be number one in his life. I'm still praying for a miracle for healing. Should I stop? Absolutely not. Because it's God's desire for us to be bold in our prayer and let him handle the results. Hear me, church? My faith is in his faithfulness. We need not be afraid to pray boldly. You know, this issue of worthiness. Maybe we're afraid to pray for God to heal us because we just don't feel worthy of it. Why should I ask God for a favor when I've done him no favors? Ever felt that way? Yeah. In our closets and behind the scenes, we can know the dark sins in our lives or even the lives of others. We go, you know, we're not worthy to come to God and ask for anything, so therefore I'm just not going to pray the big, bold prayer because I simply don't deserve that. It feels kind of hypocritical, right? It's kind of like unchurched people sometimes say Christians are hypocritical because they still sin even though they're Christian. Hello? We're still human, right? We're going to mess up. But let me tell you this, church. No one who came to Jesus for healing, who lined up at the door of the streets, was worthy. See, Jesus came to suffer and die on a cross for us and our sinfulness, not because we had our act together, but because we didn't. And yet he healed them anyway. You see, God is a merciful God. It's because we have been justified through faith, because of what he did on the cross, that makes us worthy to come before him, not because we did something right. So we want to pray with boldness, because that's the kind of God, the character of the kind of God, Jehovah Rapha, that we have. What about faith? You may have heard from people sometimes along the way, maybe you've heard preachers talk about it. The reason you don't have is because you don't have faith. Man, that can be a real mental breaker, can it? In fact, we talk about if we just had the faith of a mustard seed, we could move mountains from here to there. Doesn't faith matter? Absolutely faith matters. But is faith the peace that we must have complete control of before God's going to heal us? It's not what I see in the Bible. Yes, there are those occasions by which the woman who comes to Jesus has this issue of blood going on for this long time, has tried everything but Jesus. When she hears Jesus is a healer, he's Jehovah Rapha, so she climbs through the crowd, probably on her hands and knees, touches the hem of Jesus' robe. And Jesus says, someone touches me, the crowd clears, and there she is, embarrassed. And Jesus lifts her up and says, here's one of great faith. Maybe it was just last resort and had nothing to do with faith. But she was bold enough to ask. And she was bold enough to come and risk any embarrassment, risk anything publicly to say, if I can just get to Jesus, let him decide what happens next. That's what Jehovah Rapha wants us to do. We're not healed based on the quality of our faith. We are healed by the quality of God's faithfulness. Hear me, church? Don't look in the mirror and say, I'm not worthy or faithful enough to come to God. God was faithful enough to come to you. He did, and he still does. Now, sometimes we can get scientific. We can be in a place, well, does God really still heal today? Because we got all this science, we got medical professions. Isn't that the way he really works in today's age? You know, maybe back in the Old Testament when they didn't have the same scientific intellect that we have today. And there's kind of a couple different schools on that among Christians. Some are more legalistic or fundamental, and they might say, well, you know, you shouldn't, if you're a real Christian, you shouldn't use doctors. God will just heal you because he's Jehovah Rapha. And they actually refuse any medical help. And then there's another side of Christianity that may be overly scientific to say, God doesn't heal today because he's replaced his healing with medical professionals, so get help. Neither one of those are true. God is still the healer. God is Jehovah Rapha. And God may choose to heal outside of any medical profession, and God will choose to heal through the medical profession. God is still raising up scientists and people who can take the very elements that Jesus put on the face of the earth in creation and turn it into a medicine that can bring healing to your body and mind. God can still raise up people in that profession who are raised up as a skill to understand the anatomy, to be able to cut and shift and sort aspects of cancer and provide opportunities for healing, that when you go home, what still waits? The healing. Ask anybody who's ever had a hip surgery or knee surgery, is it painful when you go home? And you're going, I wonder what the doctor did to me. He cut me all over. And then you do what? You wait. And God heals. He is powerful in that way. And he's still moving in those powerful ways. So what does he want us to do? What does Jehovah Rapha want you and me in this age, in this church, to do? Pray. Pray boldly. Who is on your mind that needs prayers of healing? What is in you that you've been crying out to God for healing? This past week, I've had a strained whatever going at the back of my neck and back. And it has been so painful. Yesterday was crazy. If I would talk to you, I would go like this. And I told Mary, I said, I don't know how I'm going to preach tomorrow because I can't turn my head to the left or to the right. I have no idea what I did. I'm laying hands on myself going, God, heal me. And God's saying, take some muscle relaxers. And Marilyn's pulling out the massage machine. Today it feels a little better. But I am not afraid to pray, God, heal me. You are Jehovah Rapha. And when there's a need for healing, you pray. Look what James writes in James 5:13. Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church. Let them pray over them, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of the faith will save the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up. Isn't it interesting, the shift of wording there? It says the prayer of faith will, it didn't say will heal the one who is sick, will save the one who's sick. You see, there's a bigger picture that's engaging us with Jehovah Rapha than just being healed. Jason Bolden, our worship pastor, we just keep praying. Listen to a little bit of his testimony.
Hello, church. I'm Jason Bolden. I'm the worship pastor here at Christ the King Church. And I want to tell you guys about my miracle story. So in 2020, I was diagnosed with renal kidney failure. It was a devastating blow to me and my family. The doctors told me I would have to start getting on dialysis. So I started on the process of going to doing dialysis at my home. And then in 2023, we found out that the home chemo dialysis wasn't working at home. So I had to go to a center three times a week. So Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday, early in the morning at 5 o'clock, I am up going through my dialysis process. The miracle in all this is during this time of dealing with this disease, my relationship and my intimacy with the Lord has gotten deeper. His word has become fresh and new to me. And I do believe that I will be healed, either by getting a kidney or he will heal my body. So the miracle is that I'm continuing to trust in God through this whole process. And I hope this will encourage you.
Amen. Jason has a little time off today, but he's watching online. Say hello, Jason. I think it was beautiful about that story I often pick with Jason. I said, Jason, are your bags packed? What do you mean by that? I said, if you're believing in a miracle, it means your bags are packed and you're ready to go. It means that you already have the team that's going to lead worship when you get the phone call saying, come get your kidney. That's what it means to really believe in Jehovah Rapha. It really means I am prepared to receive the miracle that I am praying for. And one of the beautiful things that God is calling us to do is not only to pray, but to give thanks. And one of the beautiful things I see in Jason's life is he's always giving thanks about it. You know, this is a hard deal, you know. He's got to get up and get Dallas. He's got to get going. And this is in his life every single day. But yet, every single day he walks in. This is what I've got to be thankful for. This is how Dallas is working. This is my next gift of life. And in the midst of that giving thanks, when you and I pause and we begin to think about how God has healed me and how God has moved in my life, in my relationships, in my health, in my mind. If I write these down, I begin to see Jehovah Rapha is indeed on the move. But I think there's another thing God wants us to do. He wants us to give hope. Not only do I want to encourage you, get out there and pray with boldness for this Jehovah Rapha to heal, give thanks, help people find the thankfulness in their own life by which what God is already doing. I think it's one piece we got to see in Doug McSpadden and many others where God was already moving. There were places to give thanks, and then you begin to see the moves of God everywhere. But another is to provide hope. Provide hope. Life is much bigger than the little aspects that we see around us every day. I remember going into the care home for a woman named Shirley Green. Some of you may know her. Jack and Shirley Green were part of this congregation really early years, serving in the Charlotte region, helped this congregation get developed. Her husband, Jack Green, had died a few days earlier. Her health was failing. She wasn't feeling good. Her son and daughter were in the room, and they called up and said, hey, Pastor Craig, can we get together and have prayers over my mom for healing? And I prayed for hundreds and hundreds of people for healing. So I walk into that room, and we're sitting by the bedside. I grab Shirley's hand. We're going to pray together. Shirley, what kind of things do you want us to pray for healing tonight? And she looks at me in the eye and says, tonight, I want you to pray for me to die. That's exactly how I felt in the moment. I look at her son and her daughter, and I'm sitting in a room and go, okay, do y'all actually want me to pray for your mother to die? That's what she's requesting. So we join hands around the bedside and we pray for Jehovah Rapha to heal. That night, he healed her completely. She went home to be with Jesus and with her husband, who had died 3 days earlier. But what we talked about was hope. See, there's something more that Jesus wants us to know in the healing than just being healed. There's a story in the scripture of Jesus healing a leper who came to him one day, and lepers in that day and age were considered highly contagious. They were not allowed in the midst of community. They lived incredibly lonely lives, only to be with others who were lepers. Many times their skin would be rotting off before them. This leper comes up to Jesus as he walks in, and he falls on his knees. He looks up at Jesus and says, Jesus, will you heal me from my leprosy if you will? In essence, giving permission, whether you want to or not. And Jesus says, I want to. He reaches out and he touches somebody who hasn't been touched in a very long time. A sense of value. And he says, I will. And he asks him to get up Immediately, it says in the scripture that his leprosy is healed. He tells him two things. One is, go to the priests. The priests were designated as the ones who were ready to scan the body and determine whether you were healed. If they discerned that you were healed, they saw no marks of leprosy, you were then allowed to be back in public. Big move. The second thing he said to them is, tell no one what has happened today. Now, how many of you, if you've been healed of a miracle, can tell no one? But you have to ask the question, why is that? Wouldn't Jesus want everybody to know? Because after all, the last time, they're all lined up at the door, the whole household, the whole city is lined up at the door. He can't get out of the house for all the healing. The reason being this, as the scriptures say, Jesus could not go back to that city after he did that, because there would have been a riot for healing. Because sometimes all we want is the miracle and not the man. Hear me? Sometimes all we want is the miracle and not Jehovah Rapha. Jesus' mission was to seek and save the lost. Jesus' mission was the Messiah, the Savior of the world. Jesus' mission was to forgive people of sin and make a way for them to live with him in perfect healing forever, Revelation 21. Sometimes the temporary healing got in the way of the true healing he wants for all of us. That's the hope, the one that Shirley asked for on her last day. Jehovah Rapha can heal, but he wants us to know it's bigger than just here on earth. That's why he wants us to prepare the soul. When you meet with people and you pray over them and you help them find thanksgiving, you also want to help them prepare the soul. Jesus, many times when he healed, also said, your sins are forgiven. And the reason he did that was to be able to connect the fall with the issue of our brokenness. So what we also want to do is come before the Lord, like the song, Come Jesus Come, to ask him to come into our lives, that what we want is not just the miracle, but what we need the most is the man, and to long for that. Lastly, remind him of Jesus' love. Sometimes we can feel when we're broken as one like Andy or even one like Jason, this is all we got. But Jesus is walking with you in the midst of it. Jesus came into the world to walk with the suffering. He did miracles and then he ascended to heaven. But he walked with the suffering and he himself was the suffering servant. Remind people as you're praying boldly for healing that God is in the midst of this trial right now with you as well. That was the revelation in the heart of Andy as she looks back at the time when Jesus was with her. Jehovah Rapha still reigns. Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 21 says, he alone is your God, the only one who's worthy of your praise, the one who has done these mighty miracles that you have seen with your own eyes. Anybody ready for a miracle? Today I want you to have just a few moments to rest in this. Ask the worship team if they'll come forward. I want them to lead us in a song. And you can stand and sing, or you can sit, you can stay where you are, you can come up and kneel. But what I want to ask you to do is to pray. Pray boldly right now for anyone that's on your mind that needs healing. Lift them up before the Lord. Be ready to offer them the hope and the promise. If it is you that needs healing, feel free to come forward and kneel and seek God. But I want you to take some time to do that and not be afraid what Jesus, Jehovah Rapha in the room, can do. Amen. Let's pray.